This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
There was a guy with an electric drum set, and that had changed some of the tones on his drum set, and he's a clown juggler.
Yeah.
And he starts juggling balls off his drum set and juggling them back at him, and he's a
That's crazy.
And it was like the Blue Man Group almost. You know, you remember those guys? Like
I remember those guys, yeah, man.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like. I was like, man, this guy's
I think
insane.
They're still around, too, even.
All right, like the original Vegas residency, I think, the Blue Man Group.
Before we get to wake up call 404-726-0929, how did we neglect to mention that Uncle Rico was signed with the Chiefs?
Oh, Gardner Minshew.
Yeah.
I can throw this ball a quarter mile. And throw this ball clear over that mountain.
I love that dude, man.
Yeah, you know, man, I think it's a perfect place for him.
Yeah.
Like, right. I mean, and you know what's funny is I remember this about Gardner Minshew. One of the stories about Gardner Minshew, when he was at Eastern Carolina, he was like a part-time starter, yeah. Right? And he wanted to transfer, and he wanted to transfer to Alabama. And Nick Saban had sold him on him becoming a coach at one point, and he was like he was going to be the third stringer at Alabama. I want to say that I don't know if it was Jalen and Tua were there or something like that, and he was going to be a third stringer. And Nick Saban had sold him on being a coach. Like, hey, you'll come in, just be our third string quarterback or backup or whatever, and you can be a coach. You know, you'll basically get to learn, and then I'll make you a GA afterwards or something like that. Well, then right at the last minute, Mike Leach calls him and is like, hey, we need a starting quarterback. You're in the air raid, and he goes to, you know, Washington State and becomes Gardner Minshew and mm-hmm. the head bandana and everything and goes to Jacksonville and everything else, Minshew mania. But this almost feels like that move that he was supposed to make to Alabama. Hey, I got news for you. I don't know what you're going to do at quarterback, but come back up, you know, Patrick Mahomes, come play for Andy Reid, and it can only benefit you in the long run to come into this situation. So, man, he's had a heck of a run. He's very likable guy, interesting cat,
charismatic. He's done some of the late night talk shows,
van too. Life,
what, yeah.
You know, the whole bit. So he's a likable persona, I guess, for a lot of people. So making his zeros too, he's done all right for himself.
Hawks Clippers tonight. Hawks looking for their fifth win in a row. Atlanta United, they just want to score as Miami comes to town on Sunday. They're trying to figure that out.
Yeah,
long way to go, man. They're just trying to cultivate the chemistry. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I was talking to Mike Conti a couple days ago about this. You just want to start getting hot at the right time in the MLS. Now's not that time. Holler at me.
I mean, it's a marathon, dude.
You know, around the international window and everything else. You know, holler at me. You know what I mean? We'll see what has going on then. But, yeah, I'm not worried just yet. But, yeah, I'd like to see a more exciting brand out of them, especially with Miami coming into town. I'd like to see a little more aggression up front. But we'll see how that all comes to come to pass.
All right, I need you for who's on the lines because my phone just
– let's start with our buddy Squid Billion in Dallas, Georgia. Squid Billion, buddy. Good morning,
gentlemen. How you doing this morning?
Doing good, man. You can hit me with the Elder Squid thing. I'll do it for you if you want.
No, that's okay. You're not him. So. But you know,
sir.
You got to rep the nation when he's out of office. So, I wanted to two things. First, I wanted to talk about my first kiss because, to set it up, I was homeschooled through high school. And then in high school, I was like, I'm not going to date because I'm going off somewhere to college, so we're just going to end in a breakup, so that's dumb. So I didn't have my first kiss until freshman year of college.
Oh, yeah.
And we were both in theater. We were rehearsing for an audition. So, you know, late at night in a random classroom somewhere. It was intense.
And Sounds like a 90s
adrenaline
movie.
Was gone. Testosterone was gone. I was, like, physically shaking. Not her first kiss. So you have to ask her if it was good. I enjoyed it. I don't know if she did, you know?
Yeah.
But
incredible.
I wanted to ask you guys, I don't know. I don't expect a Super Bowl this year. What I want, the progression that I want, playoffs this year, NFC Championship, and then Super Bowl. So that's 3 years. Do you think the front office is going to be around that long for that kind of continuity? What do you think of that progression? Love the show, you guys.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, man. Here's what I'll say. If the progression follows, if you can hit your first rung of that progression and go to the playoffs next year, I think the front office is fine.
I want to win a playoff game.
The bad part about it is, though, and you can follow me on this, we said the exact same thing last year at this point. Like, hey, playoff team, got to go win your division, go to the playoffs.
Right there in the grasp.
And right then, there. If you just win the games you're supposed to win, if you beat Carolina or beat New Orleans or whatever else, you're right there. So, yeah, man, I would say that's a great progression. Yeah. But you have to hit the first rung or none of the other ones are going to come to fruition because – your window is now. I will say that, man. Your window is now. People say, oh, well, wait till Kirk's off the books. No. No, you start now. Start now.
Oh, and by the way, I hear those homeschool proms are wild.
Yeah. Hey, let's go back to the phone lines. Let's head over to our buddy Chief in South Fulton. What's happening, Chief?
What's happening, Chief? My little first kiss. Hey, my first kiss was beautiful, too. I mean, I was like 12 years old, though.
Yeah.
It was in the woods, at the camp. But it was pretty good, pretty good.
Incredible.
Yeah. Let's get to these Falcons right quick. And I'm going to tell Falcons fans, the fans, please, you know, don't jump off the ledge. It's not as bad as we think. Let's think about this for a minute. Now, the New York Jets, we ain't been that bad.
Yeah.
Cleveland Browns,
yeah.
We ain't been that bad. Miami Dolphins, we ain't been that bad. And, of course, the Dallas Cowboys, when they speak for themselves. Like I said, we ain't been that bad. So, hey, let's just cheer for your team. You know, don't anybody say the, you know, derogative stuff about the Falcons, if you're a Falcon fan. Hang in there, because it ain't been that bad.
Yeah. This is such a good point. Appreciate the call, Chief, as always. I brought this up to you a minute ago. I said, you know, and one of the reasons why I'm allowed, I think, to be a positive Falcon fan for the most part is because we aren't, you know, 2-15.
I know.
This is not a...
But it's more frustrating to be that close to just cruelly have it yanked out from under us.
It really mirrors what the Hawks have been. You know what I mean? Like, you have guys...
Mind-numbingly mediocre. Yeah.
8 seed, 7 seed.
Hamster wheel of purgatory.
The better thing, though, about the Hawks is, guess what? Because of the NBA lottery, you can get the number one pick like you did last year, and you can draft a Zachary Risacher and build a... Like, the Falcons... You're at 15. That's exactly what you deserve to be. Like, you get the 15th pick. That's right where you are. So, yeah, it can be mind-numbingly frustrating to be right on the doorstep. But, again, we haven't been, and this is a hindsight thing, but we haven't been in this good of a position quarterback-wise in quite some time. All right, speaking of that, I know this man will have something to say about the trenches. Let's head over to our buddy Mr. Yo up in Atlanta. Mr. Yo. Look, I tried to get to the trench talk early for you this morning, buddy. Hopefully that delivered.
Yes, you did. Man, you know I love some offensive line porn, brother. You know I do that. Mr. Dribble, let's go ahead and play this Falcons flyover that me and you do every single time we play a game. Okay? I end up calling in and we talk about the same thing. How the defensive line fell apart. How we couldn't get off the field on third down. How we couldn't stop anybody in the red zone.
Right.
How we couldn't do the basic things that the Falcons need to do to win games. We were 6-3 going into that game in New Orleans. How Kirk got hurt at this point and he didn't admit it. So that's the water under the bridge. But that never stopped the underlying problem. We had 11 sacks through 11 games. So for everybody who's saying, oh, they went to Athens because they really want Malachi Starks, bruh, y'all are tripping. We have a weak defensive line and we just lost Grady Jarrett. We have a great offensive line, but we lost our center. So we need to make sure we reestablish the trenches. And no matter what y'all do, please do not keep skipping out on first-round talent. Do you realize that when Mr. Johnson was drafted in 2010, since that day, we have not drafted a defensive lineman in the first round up until right now? And that's ridiculous. So stop sitting around and saying, we want to do what the Eagles did. Well, guess what? Over that same time period, the Eagles have drafted 8. So let's just look. Say, hey, it's shiny to have the guy on the outside. Malachi runs backwards really fast. You know what? I need a dude who puts his hands in the dirt and goes and gets the dang quarterback.
He runs backwards really
fast. Thank you, Mr. Yo.
That was nice.
Thank you, Mr.
That's
Yo.
That's fantastic.
That guy
runs backwards.
He's something
really
else. Hey, real quick, let's go ahead and let's try to get one more. Let's get to a member of the Mafia, my man Minty over in Gwinnett. Minty, good morning, man. Wait, wait, wait.
Gentlemen, Mike Mafia in the house.
Yes,
that gentleman
sir.
That came before me. That gentleman that came before me, he needed to be doing McNature Boy woo the whole rest of the day because he pretty much said whatever I was going to say. So since he handled that little aspect, let's handle another aspect because I've been holding off calling Mike, Mr. Tribble, look deep into Mike's eyes, okay? I've been holding off calling because I've been hearing a whole bunch of foolery out of these Square Billy affiliates over the last couple of weeks. And I'm here just to put it down, just to put it on wax and let y'all know it's kind of hard to respect y'all when y'all leader walk around with an anchor dog with a harness on. Stop playing with me.
Walk. He said an ankle dog.
Walks around with what?
An ankle dog. talking about sprinkles, yeah, yeah. Man.
An ankle dog with a harness.
Yeah.
That was great.
He definitely does, man. Oh, you can't come at him about sprinkles, though. I don't even cross that. I don't even cross that.
No, don't. I love dogs.
You know what I mean?
But the harness is
he loves sprinkles.
Mentee said, don't come at the mafia, though.
What's your dog's name?
Yeah, my dog's name is Charlie.
Don't come at Charlie.
Yeah.
My dog's name is Marlo. Don't come at Marlo.
Here's the thing, and I hate to admit this because he's an Auburn grad. My dog, and we talked about this a week ago, he was named after Charles Barkley.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, Charles. He's Charles. We just goes by Charlie. Charles Barkley Johnson. Yeah.
Had a black lab back and they named Grady for Grady from Sanford, son.
Yeah. I love it, man. That's good stuff.
Grant McCauley has dogs named after Star Wars characters, I believe. He's going to join us next, talk a little Braves. What's up with Ian Anderson? What's up with A.J. Smith-Shawver? Other questions? We have the man to ask those questions to, one Grant McCauley, coming up next on the Morning Shift Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapper jacks.
Those aren't even the words. I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Morning Shift Tribble here in for Tiffany. Got Mike. We got Dylon and young fresh face Garrett Chapman back there as well. And without further ado, we have one Grant McCauley.
G-Mac.
We are just, 13 days away from the season opener out in San Diego.
I got to hurry up and get that baseball draft in, Grant. My fantasy team.
Yeah, you do. I haven't even been able to give you any advice this season, so I don't know if you need me or not, but I'm here. You got the number. Just let me know.
Hey, look, let's start there, because you and I had a chance to have this conversation yesterday. Michael Harris was one of my keepers last year. It didn't work out for the best for me, but you said before that Michael Harris will continue to be a breakout star until he breaks out for you.
Yeah, I mean, that's just my view of this, because I really do. And the last couple of springs, it has been, you know, you see, you know what he did to win the Rookie of the Year. You see him come in and you think there's even more there. He's capable of more. He's going to win his Gold Glove. He's going to hit 25 or 30 home runs. He's going to steal 30-plus bases. He's going to, you know, do what he's done for large stretches of seasons, but do it over 162. And that, I know, is Michael Harris's goal this year. And the Braves would very much like to have that kind of season from somebody, let alone just put the production aside. It'd be nice to have somebody, I guess, besides Matt Olson, come close to playing 162 games.
Well, he's a latent MVP candidate, if you ask me, if he just stays.
There you go.
He's the only guy that hit in the postseason last year.
Check that out. I got to check the odds on that.
Yeah, but they weren't there for very long, so there's that.
That's true. All right, back into the rotation. Holmes has looked pretty good in the spring. Ian Anderson struggled a bit. A.J. Smith-Shawver going well also. How do you see this thing playing out?
Yeah, I think that, you know, you're going to need this depth over the course of the year. Yeah. I've talked a lot about this. You know, the Braves used 13 starting pitchers last year. That's a stat that, you know, the first time we spoke to Brian Snitker down in Northport, he was quick to point it out. We used 28 pitchers and 13 starters last year. So as much as we love the idea of this guy and this guy and this guy all being lined up and healthy all year long, we know we're going to have to count on some of these others to be able to carry this, you know, team forward at times. And one of the things they benefited from last year, particularly Chris Sale and Ronaldo Lopez, was having that extra day kind of built in as much as possible throughout the season. The off days created some of it, but so did some of those other starters. And that's the kind of thing the Braves would like to have as much quality and consistency in as they can. So maybe it's not quite as much of a revolving door. And a guy like Grant Holmes, Ian Anderson, A.J. Smith-Shawver, those are towards the top of the list for obvious reasons. And this Grant Holmes thing is just fascinating, because you look back at it, you know, last June, it was a 10-year odyssey just to get to the big leagues. And by the time you got to game 162, it's win or go home already. You're not getting to the playoffs if you don't win that game. And Grant Holmes is the guy that ends up getting the ball on 30 minutes notice, and you win. So it was quite a season for him. I do think that what he does is legitimate. He does miss bats, and I'm kind of interested to see what he can do if he gets this starting role and is able to hold on to it for an extended period of time. For Ian Anderson, just, you know, quickly on him, we all saw what he was prior to Tommy John surgery and what he did in the postseason in particular. Can he be that pitcher again is the question he has to answer, but a more important one or more pressing one for him and for the Braves is, can you give him the time and the opportunity to do it? Because he's out of options this spring. So if he doesn't make the roster, his time in a Braves uniform could be done. So a lot of decisions to make there at the back end of the rotation. And then, of course, you have the numbers game when you get Spencer Strider back, and you've got Chris Sale, Ronaldo Lopez, and Spencer Schwellenbach hopefully all locked in place. It's going to be interesting to see how the Braves manage all that.
Grant, I want to get back into the conversation you and I were able to have about the speed on the base pass, because I want you to paint this picture for Braves fans the same way you did for me. I've mentioned it until I'm blue in the face on the show that Ronald Acuña finished last year as your leading stolen base guy, and he only played, you know, a month of the season. He finished with 16. Nobody else even came close. I feel like, in my opinion, that's what you're missing from a team that won 100 games 2 years ago. Although the Braves, you know, obviously won a ton of games last year, there is no, like, threat on the base paths outside of Ronald Acuña, even though you signed Yerkson Profar. I think he had 10 stolen bases a year ago for San Diego. Your thought on that was different than I thought it would be. I thought you would kind of come to terms with me and say, hey, look, yes, they need to find more speed. Maybe Yerkson can up those numbers. Maybe it's Michael Harris. But you had a completely different take on stolen bases and speed on the base paths altogether.
Yeah, I would push it kind of down into the middle of the list and more of a situational awareness that I feel like is beneficial for them to tap into. But the list of guys that can steal you a base is not very long. And, I mean, you just mentioned the two top guys, which is going to be, you know, a healthy Ronald Acuña Jr. when you get him back. I still think he's going to run. I mean, we don't have to get 70 steals out of him for it to be a successful year. There's a lot of things he can do. Then you got Michael Harris, to a lesser extent. Ozzie Albies, I think, is a good base runner and can pick his spots to do that. He's got a pretty good percentage over the course of his career as far as success rate is concerned. But beyond that, I mean, you don't have a lot of guys that you're going to ask that from. And if there's something that the Braves were missing last year, it was the ability to hit consistently, and it was, you know, multiple hitters that went through that. So that, I think the thing that the Braves want to see is a healthy team getting back to what it's capable of doing. And that means the Austin Rileys, the Ozzie Albies, the Sean Murphys, on down the list, and Ronald Acuña Jr. being at the very top of that list. Let me not bury the lead there. That's a completely different looking kind of offense. I mean, Michael Harris missed 2 months last year. It seemed like everybody had something going on except Matt Olson. And then he just went into one of the longer slumps and worst slumps that he's had in his career and was able to finally pull the nose up in the second half when he said, and I quote, he stopped being so mechanical about it and just went out there and just tried to let it happen and use his natural ability and stop analyzing it. And that, I thought, was a really fascinating response when you consider how much analysis that these guys are doing on a daily basis. But to go back to your question, to answer it as succinctly as I can, the Braves want to do the things that they did so well in 2023, whether or not they approach those numbers or not. That's get on base and slug. If they do that with the lineup that they have and the roster that they have, this is a team that's capable of winning a lot of games.
All right, I want to ask you about analytics. Certainly it became sexy, and it became basically the main thing teams focused on for the most part. I mean, Gabe Kapler basically managed with an iPad for the most part, got criticized for that. Is there kind of maybe, I'm not going to say de-emphasize, but are teams going to maybe take more into account the human element, kind of like what Snitker does?
They're trying to thread that needle, but it's never going away. I mean, that die is cast. I mean, and look, you know, hitters, I mean, Matt Olson's a good example of it, but, you know, you can go on all around the league and, you know, they go to these laboratories where they work on their swing all winter long to try to get that perfect angle, to try to, you know, eliminate mechanical hitches or anything that could, you know, keep them from being the best version of themselves, basically. I mean, it's almost a full-time job, and it is a full-time job for these other, like, hitting clinics and whatnot. And some of these guys are being brought into baseball just in general. Teams are hiring from these places. I know Driveline has been huge for pitchers, and that's a different discussion, but now you're seeing those guys get hired by clubs because they believe in what they're finding by using the advanced approach of trying to help guys, you know, I think, become the best version of themselves. That's probably the easiest way to say that, to use that phrase again. But the analytics in terms of player performance and in terms of advanced metrics and in terms of, you know, how front offices value players, that I don't think is ever coming out of the equation now. And that, I think, is something that players, and this is what Tim Hyers, the new hitting coach, kind of talked about. I need to relay the statistics and the things that make a point that are beneficial to the player. We don't need to get lost in it. And I think that's probably the best approach for it because, you know, you don't want to ignore the information, but you can also get lost in it. And that can compound over the course of a season where baseball is a game that is very much physical, but also very much mental. And too much of that stuff, I think, can be too much of a good thing.
Finishing up here with Grant McCauley, 92.9 The Game Braves Insider. And I'm glad you brought up Tim Hyers. That was going to be my next question, Grant. And I think that there's probably a I don't want to call it a misunderstanding, misnomer, or whatever you want to call it, about what hitting coaches actually do in Major League Baseball. You had a chance to be down in Northport just a couple of weeks ago. Tim Hyers takes over for Kevin Seitzer in that role. What Major League hitting coaches, what exactly are we dealing with when you make changes right there? What is their number one job? What do you think Tim Hyers' number one job is this year to make changes with this lineup?
I think it's to approach everybody as individually as possible because they're all different. And Austin Riley was asked about this at the start of spring training and said, all right, well, you know, Tim Hyers is coming in. Well, what does that mean for this club? And obviously everyone can look at 2023 and say, okay, well, we know what you're capable of if everything goes right. And then you can look at 2024 and say, well, we know what can happen if a lot of stuff goes wrong. And he said, you know, this is the hardest job perhaps in baseball is to be a hitting coach because you do have completely different types of hitters with completely different approaches, completely different mentalities. But I think he wants to simplify that process and concentrate more on the day-to-day and less about the, you know, the very long and difficult grind of the season, less about getting, you know, too far into the lows especially will drag you down, and that can compound. And I think we saw a lot of that last year. And I think, you know, what Matt Olson said kind of spoke to that is everybody wanted to be the guy with the bat in his hands to turn it around, whether it was a given day, a series, or a month for the Braves or a long particular period of time. So for the hitting coach, I think the job really is to simplify it and to help guys as they go along to see the adjustments and help them make the adjustments more quickly so that they can kind of, you know, do the thing that they're capable of doing. And that may sound like the most simple or straightforward answer possible, but it really isn't that, you know, complex a job in terms of what the goal is, but getting the job done and being able to get those results. Everybody, I think, spends all season long, you know, focused on that moving target, and it's going to be one for Tim Hyers this year. But I like the voice, I like the message, and I think that the Braves have been open to that and are excited about having the opportunity to learn and adjust and figure out ways to put 2024 as far behind them as possible.
What percentage of Tim Hyers' job is just simply psychologist?
I would say a large percent is. I mean, he's going to do a ton of work, a ton of homework, a ton of video analysis and everything that's, you know, going to be what he presents to these players. But, you know, once you get into that game, it's about knowing personalities. It's about relatability. It's about being able to deliver that message and getting guys to buy in to that given message as well. So I would say, Rob, a large part of that job is going to be, you know, the psychologist to help relate it to them, help relate to them, and help them to, you know, figure out a way to tap into what I think, again, is a whole bunch of talented hitters that it may not have shown last year, but they've got to figure out a way to get back to that this year.
Well, it's a big part of my job when I fill in on the morning show as psychologist as well, my friend. So I appreciate you
for that.
Thank you, Grant.
Thank you, guys.
All right, going to come back in the life of Tribbs. Hey, we lost a legend. We lost a legend. In my eyes, this guy was very prolific, and we're going to give a salute to him coming up next. It's the Morning Shift Sports Radio, 99 The Game. Thank God indeed. Friday, as Dylon calls it.
Friday's my favorite day of the week.
Huh?
Friday is my favorite day
Thursday
of the week.
Thursday night's the best drinking night, though. I love Thursday night drinking.
Well.
And Monday afternoon drinking around 11 a.m. noon.
It's hard to claim Thursday nights because I get up so early on Friday. But I love, look, I've said this before to you, I love my job. Like, I think this is the greatest job ever. So I like Fridays because I come to work, get my day started early, do whatever I want to do in the afternoon, kids come home, and it's whatever. Like, I don't have to worry about getting the kids down at a certain time or how many drinks I'm having or whatever. Like, Friday's just, I got 2 days ahead of me for recovery or whatever else I need to get some sleep. Friday is the day. Like, this is my favorite day of the week.
Man, I wish I could get to Atlanta United. I don't have a ticket, and I want to see Messi. Don't have a ticket. Somebody got to help me. Hook me up somehow. I am throwing, I'm shooting my shot.
Should I tell him the Squidbilly story about how I got?
Oh, yeah, you should. Before you tell him the Squidbilly story, you should hit up our fearless leader. He might have something for you.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I had this was for when Messi was coming to town for the playoffs last year, Rob. I asked Bo on air. I said, I wonder if Mike Conti can get me Atlanta United tickets. Yeah. And Bo took massive offense to that. He was like, you know, I know people at the stadium and Arthur Blank's people and everything.
He always makes it about him.
I know. I was like, dude, Mike is literally the voice of Atlanta United. I think, you know, he could, I would say at the top of my list, probably him. And I know that it was a hot ticket with Messi coming to town. And sure enough, to my own chagrin, Within 20 seconds, our buddy Tim Zalowski, who is president of Arthur Blank Sports Entertainment, was on Bo's phone going, "Hey, tell Mike I got him."
Wow.
And then I had to eat crow because I wanted the ticket so bad.
Yeah.
Tim was awesome, hooked it completely up. I've been in every seat in that stadium, mm-hmm. been to every event known to man. The greatest seats, I mean, he hooked it with the best seats in the building. Had a California roll and
that's
a couple other things.
Yeah. Well, I never have my hand out here, but I really want to do this. And I'm so re-engaged with this team. I mean, I love what happened last year. Out of nowhere, they find their way in the playoffs, and of course, Mickey's one of my all-time favorite Atlanta athletes for that matter.
Well, look, it goes back to the conversation you and I had yesterday. You've interviewed Dale Earnhardt, Michael Jordan, whatever.
Like, everybody, you name it. RuPaul, right. Gilligan.
You've seen Tom Brady in the flesh or whoever else from every other sport. Messi's along those lines.
Yes, he is.
He is an attraction. So when you talk about going to be able to see him on Sunday in primetime, and watching Messi in action, I think you have to try to do whatever you do to kind of shake those situations loose, which is what I did. And shout out to Tim for hooking it up. Yeah. And Atlanta United is always I went to the first game at Bobby Dodd.
Like, I did
they're
too.
Always on my list. Huge Atlanta United fan. So yeah, that was a situation I don't think we can replicate.
And I made the mistake of sitting in the east stands when it was like 9,000 degrees.
Well, you know what was miserable about that?
But the first three seasons, I went to every home game.
I was going to say, what was miserable about the Bobby Dodd opener was it was at a stadium that was not used to selling beer.
I know.
And it was like, there was like four beer windows, and they were not ready for the line that they were going to. Like, they just threw a couple of kegs back behind the concession stand.
Do you know how many goals?
Sell beer.
You know how many goals I was responsible for? Especially that first season, because it seemed like first couple of games I went to, every time I got up for a beer, they scored a goal.
Yeah.
So got to where, Rob, go buy a beer. It worked. It worked several times in a row.
You just never got to see it with your own two eyes.
I didn't care. Yeah. And it just got to be comical at some point. Man. But there was something very romantic and wonderful about those games at Bobby Dodd.
Yeah.
I mean, it was fantastic.
Yeah. That was such an incredible time. I remember I didn't know much at the time. I was a big FIFA guy, like on video games, but I didn't know much about the actual players.
Yeah.
And the chants that, like you hit the ground. Like a lot of the supporters section already had their chants in line before like the first game,
which
is incredible to think of the organization that goes along with that. But yeah, man, love United games. That'd be a massive one this weekend. Hawks, obviously, big matchup. So, yeah, there's the SC tournament. Bama will play probably at 1 a.m. tonight against Kentucky or whenever that thing.
You got Duke and North Carolina, no Cooper flag, though.
Yeah, well, and I said earlier that, I'd Friday's my favorite day because you can just stay away. I don't know that I'll see the end of that Bama game tonight. I'm going to try. Mm. I'm going to try, dude, but those games, like I think it was whoever was playing in the 9 o'clock game last night. I'm trying to remember. I tried to stay up and watch Oklahoma, Kentucky, and like it was like 9:30, and it wasn't even close. And I was like, this is going to be an uphill climb. So yeah, man, big weekend. Hopefully the storms aren't too crazy.
Oh man, those storms sounds like they're apocalyptic. By the way,
I live in I live in a neighborhood where when the wind blows the wrong way, we lose power. So I'm already just terrified about that one, man. So hopefully we can get that situation.
And if you're in our area where those pine trees snap easily in high winds, if you got a lot of pine trees, brace yourself.
Up and down, I live off of Riverside Road, which has power lines up and down it.
Yep.
And anytime a tree or whatever blows into those power lines, it's over with for our neighborhood. So yeah, man, it'll be a good weekend. It'll be a good weekend. Hopefully the weather comes and goes, and you can enjoy whatever. I don't know. What's your bar that you call it? Not the gas station, but
Universal Joint.
Universal.
It's a converted gas station.
Yeah. I've been to the one up in Cleveland, Georgia. I told you about.
Yep. Same setup. Same group.
Great place. So
I'll be there tonight. Probably.
Hopefully the patios are open for business at least some point this weekend.
Indeed. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Life of Squid. We have lost a legend. That's right. We're triple sponsored.
I was going to say, dude. Speaking of patios and belt lines, New Realm is always your place to go. And speaking of Kennesaw State, that's Tiffany should be over there with the fighting Antoine Petways at some point. So
I got to tell you that this day and age, there's one thing I don't. Sports media now has just become a bunch of yelling shows, clownish histrionics.
Yes.
Well, we lost a guy that was more dignified, had a vast arsenal of rhetoric. Talking about John Feinstein, passes away at the age of 69, and a prolific author. Of course, he's a personality on air as well. Prolific author, 23 bestsellers.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. What was and you'll have to excuse me. I'm not as familiar as some people is with him. What is it, just sports books? I mean, 23 bestsellers is insane.
Well, he wrote a really good book on golf, A Good Walk Spoiled. You know, because you know, golf can be beautiful surroundings.
Book name I've ever heard.
Beautiful surroundings.
Oh,
but,
might be the greatest.
But
book
the
name
game
I've
is
heard.
So frustrating. We don't know if the quote is attributed to Oscar Wilde or Mark Twain.
Yeah,
but that's basically what it's about. But Season on the Brink is probably the best one he wrote, and I read this one. It's about Bobby Knight, the 85-86 wow. Indiana Hoosiers team, and Bobby Knight fighting to get back to relevance. And you know, he did a nice, complex study of Bobby Knight, who was a very complex man. You know, great coach, a bully, sarcastic, volatile temper. And remember even Brian Dennehy played Bobby Knight in the screen adaptation
wow.
of A Season on the Brink. So John Feinstein just had him on several times
really?
Over my career. Just very engaging.
Washington Post, I believe, was yep. his outlet for yep. a lot of his career. And I know that he did some radio as well. The amount of tributes yep. that I saw on social media yesterday for him, and it was a sudden passing. If I'm believed to be,
because I think his final column was published just hours before his death was announced. By
yeah,
his brother. Natural causes.
Yeah, I don't want to theorize what it is, but you know, it sounds like a situation where he had a medical emergency and passed away. Yep. I think he was 69 years old. So yeah, just terrible, man.
Just to throw back to that vibe of guys that covered sports. Just yeah. It's kind of a lost thing. Now we have Stephen A. Smith making himself the story all the time.
Well,
I like how Carl and Mike make fun of him. Every time Stephen A. Smith shows up to an arena, he makes a lap so everybody can see him.
Yeah. Man,
I know it's a terrible way to talk about our future president and all, but, you know, hey.
Look, I don't – you know what? Not to go down that road. I don't hate Stephen A. Smith as much as I do the people that are making the decisions over at the Four Letter Network, because they're the ones that have put in front and center.
Well, it's absurd what it's all turned into.
You know, we've gone from what used to be, you know, when I was in my teens and early 20s, that I would just let that sports center just run. I want to see every highlight, yep. every insight. And
not
it
anymore.
Just, they've shifted what the focal point is of their entertainment. Yep. business to get some of that. So to your point, there is, you know, guys like Feinstein or throwback to where the highlight is the highlight of the day.
The highlight's the highlight, but they also had thoughtful analysis. They break it down psychologically, schematically, all the things. Just had a more broad approach rather than just yelling in histrionics.
I saw a number of tributes to him. I also saw a number of tributes to friend of the show, Dennis Dodd, who has decided to retire from CBS Sports.
Oh, wow.
A lot of people.
Had him on several times, too.
Yeah, a lot of people on the socials talking about Dennis Dodd and what he has meant to the business. So, yeah, Feinstein shockingly passes away at, like you said, 69 years old. And just the amount of people that obviously loved him. And everything that he brought to not only the sports landscape, but, you know, 23 bestsellers.
Well, guys like that,
right.
They just capture the romanticism of sports, you know, the triumph of the human condition, overcoming adversity. Now it's just yelling, oh, he's trash, he's that. And
romanticism is such a good word.
Oh, it's great. It's the sentimentality, nostalgia of the whole thing, that's what makes it so compelling.
Man,
I don't feel like being yelled at by Skip Bayless.
Yeah, and look.
I have no time for that nonsense.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, man. And yeah, I mean, you're right. Romanticism is such a good word. What did you just say? Sentimentality?
Yeah.
Now, what a good word.
Nostalgia.
What a good word. And
that's the essence
granted,
of it.
I was going to say that you have been in this business. Yeah, you've been in this business a long time, and you get words like that from people like Feinstein, right? I mean, that's
no, I gave him to Feinstein. No, yeah, I had him on my own.
Yeah. He stole that from me.
But I just the vibe of those old school guys is
old
just
souls,
what
man.
Make that's why I love sports.
And it just
I love sports in spite of what I'm confronted with on a daily basis now, though, with all the yelling shows.
I was gonna say he's Feinstein and Dennis Dodd, honestly, from what I can gather, is just a reminder of a bygone era.
Yeah.
And in the sports landscape.
Well, hopefully there'll be enough of a backlash where maybe it'll return back to that. We can have more thoughtful people actually covering it.
Yeah.
Not people that want to be the story.
I think it'll be in a different format and a different delivery method, but I think you're right. I think there's a lot of people that are pushing back against some of the personality-driven things like that.
Real quick, before we go to break, can I ask y'all a very quick question? This is off topic.
Well, do we have a choice?
I mean, you do, but, you know. Is because my birthday, my birthday is on St. Patrick's Day, so that holiday is near and dear to my heart. Also, that's when we started the morning shift. Is St. Patrick's Day an underrated holiday? Is it underrated?
I don't think it can be underrated. I think it's properly rated.
You think so?
Yeah, it's properly rated.
I don't see how
it
can be underrated. Okay. I know it's your birthday. I don't see how it can be underrated because I think people, I think it's a big holiday. You know what I mean? Is it a, it's definitely a top 10 holiday.
Well, a mandatory drinking holiday.
It's not top five? Think about, okay, Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year's.
Halloween.
Fourth of July is up there for me too.
Fourth of July.
So, yeah, I'm not saying
it's, so I guess between Halloween and St. Patrick's Day.
I might like St. Patrick's.
I'm a big Arbor Day drinker.
What day?
Big on Arbor Day.
Arbor Day?
Arbor Day?
Yeah, trees. Celebrating the trees.
Never heard of it. Well, today years old when I found out about Arbor Day.
Is that third week in April, Arbor Day?
I don't know.
Is that 420? Does that happen on the 20th day of the fourth month? Is that what we're talking about? Celebrating the trees? Okay, just checking.
Well, gentlemen, I've enjoyed this our time together. Dylon, wonderful
always
work.
Fun, buddy.
Thank
always,
you.
Always nice to.
Same to you.
You're going to miss me assaulting you.
I will.
Until the next time I come back.
I'll be fantasizing about the next assault.
I thought
until
about
we get
assaulting
there.
You today while on the air shirtless. I thought about coming in here shirtless and assaulting you.
I would have enjoyed it even more.
There's a lot of yelling coming from the bullpen, Rob. There's a lot of yelling out there.
Oh,
right,
there's going to be a terse and truculent steakhouse between Drew Butler and Zeno.
A lot of screaming out there right now.
They're going to be side eyeing each other for 2 hours. 2 hours!
Speaking of screaming sports talk. Yeah.
All right, we are done here. That'll wrap it up for the morning shift. Again, Steakhouse next with Zeno and Drew Butler. This is Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games. Or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.